Well, it will be worth it all. One day, Brother David, it's going to be worth it all. Amen? So good to have Brother David with us, and thank you for that message again this morning. And I'm glad to see each one of you here tonight. If you were not able to be here this morning, we did record the service this morning. So if you want a copy, just see Brother Steve in the back. He will get you a copy of the message this morning. And also, we are receiving love offerings for Brother David's family. And if you would like to do that, mark it on the offering envelope and put it in our tithes and offerings box in the foyer. And I had someone asking, is it these black boxes? No, it's not the black boxes. It's the tithes and offering as you go out the door. And so tonight I've asked Brother David to take the first part of his time to share testimony. And after he shares testimony and a little bit about Bedagri, where God has called him to go plant a church this next year, I would like him to remain up here, and I'll come and take questions if you have any questions about Bedagri or the work there in Kosowa. He will do his best to answer those questions, and then after that, he will preach for us. So, Brother David, why don't you go ahead and come? Let's give him another Bible Baptist welcome.
Thank you, sir. Amen. Thank you, sir. Good evening, everybody. Glad to see you here again tonight. Thank you for being here this morning. And really appreciate your presence and to be here to listen, to be encouraged by the Word of God. And I also want to thank Pastor once again for this opportunity to be here with you, to be able to come and to share with you our burdens concerning the work that which the Lord has called us to do. And I guess Pastor has already mentioned, told you about who I am. So I'll say I'm Brother David Orus once again, and from the Bible Independent Baptist Church in Kosowa, in the suburb, the outskirts of Accra, Ghana. And that's for those of you that do not know, so I'm just saying it again. And I want to keep thanking God. I want to keep thanking God for all that God has done in our lives over the period of time. And most importantly, I want to thank God for Bible Baptist Church. I often want to say Bible Independent Baptist Church. But I want to thank God for you all, and for the Lord placing in your hearts to pick us up and be an encouragement to us with your support and your prayers. And my family and I are very grateful. We are very thankful. And they keep asking me to extend their regards. We speak like since I've been here, we've been speaking every day. We've been doing a WhatsApp video call, and my wife keeps saying I should say hello to everybody, and I should extend the family's gratitude to you all, and we are so thankful. And once again, I want to use this opportunity to thank Mom Stacy and Pastor. They've really been taking care of me. If you observe, you can see it seems like I'm a little bit bigger just in 2 days. So I'm enjoying Mom Stacy's food. This afternoon we had one super duper rice and Ghana stew, and it's super. So I'm enjoying it. And Pastor has been taking me around, and in fact I don't know how to describe it. You know, this is an experience of a lifetime, and it's really exciting. Aside from the cold. You saw me come. I came in this morning. I was wearing just my shirt and the tie. I left the room. I said to myself, I can handle this. But when I came out, I saw I can't handle it. So right now I'm not alone. I'm not alone. I know Jesus is with me, but I'm wearing something inside, down and up, before my shirt, before the jacket, and I feel like I need a button up now. And no swag anymore, just button, that's it. So really and truly, I'm thankful. It's an experience, and I just give God the glory. He allows us to experience great things. This is one of those great things, and I'm thankful. Now, straight up to that which the Lord has called us to do. And I believe so strongly that we've heard, you know, we've seen the prayer letter that we have been sending, and at the same time that Pastor has spent some time talking to you all about that which the Lord has called my family and I to do. And that is, the Lord has called us, burden our hearts concerning going to a place called Badagry. And Badagry is in a place in Nigeria called Lagos. Lagos is a city, and at the same time is a state in Nigeria. And Nigeria is in West Africa, just like Ghana is in West Africa. And the Lord has called us to go to that place, that is Badagry, to start a Baptist church, a fundamental Baptist church there. And our goal, as the Lord allows us, is to reach out to people in Badagry with a gospel message, and beyond Badagry, and even Lagos and Nigeria in totality. God has given us a vision that we want to follow to reach Badagry, reach Lagos, and reach Nigeria, and maybe even West Africa, other parts of West Africa, as the Lord allows us. Now, Badagry is an ancient city. By ancient city, historically, I was told, or I saw somewhere, that, you know, one of the very first, you know, Baptist missionaries, you know, came to Badagry in Nigeria. The very first Baptist missionary came to that place. And today, as I speak to you, Badagry is, you know, a community, if you will, that has approximately almost 500,000 people, still counting. But you know something? There is not even one true Baptist church there. There might be a Baptist church that are convention Baptist church, charismatic Baptist churches, but no true Baptist church. And aside from Badagry itself, Lagos in itself, which is a larger city, you know, has a population of over 15 million people, with just about 4 independent Baptist churches. And those 4 independent Baptist churches we are talking about, I pastored one of them when I was in Lagos. But I can't really say for the others. See? And our hearts are very heavy, because the whole place, if you will, is inundated with Pentecostalism, you know, and charismatic beliefs, and also those that are practicing traditional religions. And the Lord is burdening our heart for those people. And that's why we trust in the Lord, that as He opens the door for us and provides our needs by the first of next year, which is January of next year, we are trusting God to go to Badagry and begin the work. And that is why we're seeking and desiring that you would pray with us, as God has already used you to support us with the work in Ghana. We're also trusting God that God would continue to use you. Our hearts are really heavy, you know, because we stop. And personally, I say this all the time, even to my church and even to the family and to those that care to listen. You know, I feel that which the Lord has used us to do in Ghana, we are done. 17 years is what God has allowed us to spend in Ghana. And I believe that it's time for us to leave. And God has burdened our heart. And I feel so strongly, I sometimes even say that I am in Ghana today preaching, but it's like my heart is in Badagry, because God wants us to go there. So all we are asking and we are seeking is that you continue to partner with us, you continue to pray for us, and that we'll trust God that God would use us to accomplish His will and purposes in the lives of these people. As we speak, each passing day, souls are perishing. People are dying and going to hell. Most of the charismatic people that we're talking about, you know, all that they talk about is salvation by works. They don't have the true gospel message. But yet they have the edifices, they have the big buildings, yet they are everywhere. So we have a vision, and a serious one at that. And we are believing God that God would use us. We want to be pliable in His hand for Him to use us to accomplish His will and purposes for our lives and for the people of Badagry. So we'd really, really seek that you pray with us concerning this.
Any questions that you may have for Brother David? This is your opportunity.
Please feel free. The only thing that I have is cold, nothing else. I mean, I'm just cold, but I'm good. Feel free, please.
Riley?
It wasn't hard. It wasn't hard to learn English. Just like there are schools, so you go, when you go to school, you learn, and you pay attention, and you do well. So it wasn't hard.
Trace?
Yeah, Africa. Africa is a continent of about 54 countries. Okay, and there are several languages, hundreds and hundreds of languages. Now in Badagry, if you're asking what languages speak there, there are two languages that they speak there. And aside from English or Pidgin English, they speak a language called Yoruba and another one called Egun. So those are the two languages they speak there. But they speak English and also Pidgin English, that is the broken English.
Brother John?
Sorry?
How hard will it be to find a building for your church?
It won't be that hard. As long as you have the funds for it, you can find it. It won't be that hard to find a building, sir.
How big is Badagry again?
Sorry?
How big is Badagry?
Yeah, Badagry is quite big. I don't have the size by square meters, but like I said, the inhabitants of Badagry, people that are in Badagry, they are approximately in excess of about 500,000, and still counting, because most people are relocating to Badagry now.
If we're looking at Africa on the map, where is Badagry?
Okay, so if you can find like the map of Africa, I don't know how I can put it this way. Badagry is in the western part of Africa. Okay, so when you find the western part of Africa, that is just underneath, then you also would find Nigeria. And when you find Nigeria, you find Lagos. Then in Lagos, you find Badagry.
It is, Badagry is pretty close to the coast.
Yes, sir. Close to the coast.
It's
yes,
one
sir.
Of the first cities you come to. If you're coming from Ghana, you'll actually travel. Like when he moves, he's going to be going through
Togo,
and Benin, and then coming into Nigeria.
Into Nigeria, then straight up to Badagry. Yeah, the people in Badagry are very receptive, because the opportunities that I've had to be there and just try to go around to share the gospel message and witness, they were very receptive, very receptive.
Jackie?
Does your wife work?
And if she... Does your wife work And also, does she do anything in the church?
Yeah, she doesn't work a secular job. She's a full-time housewife. But the church, yes, she teaches Sunday school, children's Sunday school in the church, and she also assists me in the church as a secretary of some sort. Help me with some of my things, my administrative work that I need to do some.
Brother Curtis?
Thank you, sir. So I was saved in the year 1992 and had the opportunity of hearing the precious gospel of Christ being preached. Prior to that time, I have often believed that, you know, salvation is by works. If you listen this morning, I just touched on that briefly when I mentioned that, you know, I grew up in a household where we had We believe in this church organization that we went to, and we believe that the leader of the organization then, basically it's through him that we can have salvation, so we'll call his name. That is as a young man growing up. You know, that's what I believe. That's the whole my group, my mother, my father, my siblings, we are all in that organization. You know, somewhere along the line, had the opportunity of being invited to a Baptist church by a friend, and that was in the year 1992. And I went to the church and heard the gospel message being preached clearly for the very first time. Because prior to that, I've always had this belief, you know, that if I do good things, you know, those good things are good enough. I've had the opportunity those days where they have, you know, people will go out, like groups that call themselves Christians, so to speak, would go out and show the gospel films, especially the films about hell. And when I get to see that, you know, I get frightened and I say, I don't want to go to hell. And I'm believing then that, okay, if I change my lifestyle or, you know, start doing good things, you know, I would definitely go to heaven. But I realized then that no matter what I did, you know, I still felt lost. But when I had the opportunity of being in the Baptist church for the first time, went there in the morning, couldn't really hear much, you know, but when I went back there again in the evening, because my friend invited me back again to that church, and I heard the gospel message being preached very clearly that night, and I can still remember, you know, Romans 5:8, and that really got me, you know, that God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, you know, Christ died for us. I never really, really felt that, you know, God could do this. I never really saw it in the light that I saw it that night. You know, and courtesy of that truth, you know, all the messages that was preached, all the things that were said that night, you know, I realized then and there that I was lost and I was hell bound. You know, I just couldn't wait to, you know, just go out and let the preacher know that I needed to be saved. But I believe strongly that even prior to getting to meet him, I was saved because I believed. In my heart, I recognized that I needed the Lord. And in my heart, I knew I repented and I believed. I was shown the scriptures, you know, and I acknowledged the Lord Jesus as my Savior. He alone. And since then, I've had the peace. I'm eternally secured. I know for sure, if I were to die right now, heaven is going to be my home without a shadow of a doubt. I know. And I thank God for that. And prior to that, after that time, I was, you know, in church, going. And somewhere along the line, I don't know what happened, but I left church for a while. And one night, I still remember very vividly, you know, how the preacher came looking for me. Actually, was looking for somebody else. You know, that person also has missed church, like me. So he was looking for the person, and he came to my house and found me, you know. And it was such something that really, really helped me seriously, realizing that, you know, he could really sort of seek me out, so to speak, even when I was not in church. So after that night, I went back to church and consistently was in church. A few months after that, I got baptized, and the Lord started dealing with me about something different. And I didn't know what it was, you know, but I just knew that God wanted me to do something. So the idea wasn't salvation, because I knew I was saved. And somewhere along the line, I kept having that note that God wanted me to do something. And as I kept hearing the preaching, you know, I just knew that God was calling me to preach. So in the year 1994, I surrendered to preach. I surrendered in 1994. That was in June in 1994. And ever since, you know, the Lord has allowed me to get involved in one ministry or the other within the church. And he allowed me to serve the church there for about 5 years as the assistant pastor of the church. Then after the 5 years, the church called me to be their pastor, and I served them for 6 years before the Lord called us in 2005, you know, to the mission field in Ghana. So this is just in a nutshell.
Since you've come to Christ and you've been living Christ's way, have you encountered individuals that has a barrier of their beliefs and want to go against you and what you believe in, and how do you overcome their beliefs and what they're telling you to go towards the better?
Right. Evidently, I think I've encountered a lot of people, you know, and one way or the other, that probably have maybe beliefs that are different from what I stand for. You know, whenever that happens, you know, I always hold on to the truth that I believe. And I don't try to be judgmental, because I'm not supposed to be. So I try to be able to share. If you believe what I believe, fine. If you don't believe what I believe, then evidently the Bible says two cannot be together except they agree. Amos 3:3. So, but then I hold on to what I believe and I stand for what I believe. I don't know if that answers your question. Okay.
It's Corey.
So everybody can hear.
Are there any other gospel preaching churches in Bedaguri, and will you and your family be working alone, or will you be working with any other pastors?
As far as I know, there are no other gospel preaching churches, and I have tried the best I can to do a little research, you know, not that I have data to say, okay, X amount of churches are in Bedaguri that does this or not do this. But like, for example, as Baptist churches or fundamental Baptist churches, I know where those churches are at. Okay, and I also have an idea based on my little research of, you know, I understand what's a biblical church is supposed to be. So I don't call, you know, those churches. I'd rather would say they're organizations. I know there are a bunch of organizations that are there, but definitely not true gospel preaching churches. So there's no church to work with. We're going to be walking alone. But at the same time, we have, like I said, I pastored a church before in Lagos. So we probably might walk with them, you know, since we are churches of like faith. You know, so if they are willing to walk with us, we'd walk with them.
Thank you, Pastor Horace. I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I'm 3rd through 6th grade Sunday school teacher. So what language did you learn when you were born? What were you raised at? What language was that?
Yeah, I would say I actually grew up on Pidgin English.
Pidgin English?
Pidgin English, that is broken English.
Okay.
Yes. And my mom is half Ghanaian.
Okay.
So So Liz probably, I mean, spoke that to us. So Pidgin English and that Ghanaian language.
Can you give us an example of Ghanaian language? Like if we wanted to say Jesus loves you, how would you say Jesus loves you?
In Chui, you can say Yesu Dowo.
Yesu Do?
Yesu Dowo. That is, Jesus loves you. Yesu Dowo.
All right, guys, did you hear that? What are some of the things that the kids from third grade through sixth grade, what are some things that they do over there in Africa?
I would say generally, in Ghana, they play. Okay, so if it has to do with what they do in church by way of the how we teach them, if that's what you're saying, songs, okay, and memory verses, we do show and tell. Yes, we do show and tell. And memory verses, and just basically that's it, and just teach. You know, teach with object lessons and stuff.
Okay.
So we do that also, and primarily that's what we do.
So do they have Xbox and PlayStation and stuff like that over in Africa?
Yeah, the rich ones. The Xbox and PlayStations are for, you know, those that are exclusively on the other side of the divide in terms of wealth. You know, it's not for the poor. The poor doesn't have Xbox and PlayStations, but they do. They do have Xbox and PlayStations, yes.
Okay.
Plenty.
Did you hear that, all you Xbox and PlayStation kids? Mm-hmm. You're one of them.
Can you give us an example of Pidgin English? Like, tell us something in Pidgin English so we can just...
Yeah, I can do Nigerian Pidgin English, but not good at Ghana Pidgin English. Yeah. So Nigerian Pidgin English, for example, you want to ask somebody, what are you saying in Nigerian Pidgin English? What are you saying? Wait till you talk. Or how are you? How you day? Or how far? Yes. So, you know, basically, like it is, this pigeon is broken English. You know, how are you? How far? You know how and far. But then, that is to say, how are you? Then, how are you also? You can say, how you day. Okay, so, any other thing you want me to say in pigeon English, feel free, I'll say it. I'm good in Nigerian pigeon English, I'm good. But Ghana pigeon English, I struggle. So anything you want me to say in Nigerian
and
Pidgin English?
I struggle in Ghana Pidgin English too. When they were talking those, I struggle too when they would talk to me in that kind of English.
Yes, sir. So anything you want me to say in Nigerian Pidgin English, feel free, and I'd say it.
I wanted to ask a question.
Go ahead.
Okay, so whenever you ministered the gospel, what was like the most like awesomest like story, like what was like where you saw God's work in it and like it was kind of cool how it turned out or whatever?
Yeah, you mean when I reach out to people? Is that it? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
When I'm trying to reach out to people, evidently, you know, basically just passing the gospel message as simple as it is. You know, currently we are using something in our, you know, evangelistic ministry, you know, it's a board. So we're using that. I don't know, probably you've seen it in maybe some of the pictures that I've sent. So we use that, you know, to reach out. And it's a board that has three doors in front of it. And it says, actually it's from a group called the Amazing Grace Mission that I got it from them. So it says, see three things God cannot do. So, Africans, Ghanaians, Nigerians are very inquisitive people, very, very inquisitive people. So we thought, you know, we could really get attention of people, and like when you stop someone on the street, which we do. We have soul winning, we have a Saturday soul winning, we have a personal soul winning, we knock on doors and everything. But on every Wednesday, we use that, we go to markets or different locations when we know there is a traffic of people. So what we do is that when we place that board there and it says, see three things, that's the caption we have, see three things that God cannot do. So usually people are very inquisitive. They want to know what are the things that God cannot do, because ordinarily we all know God can do all things, but we know there are negatives that God cannot do. So that's what we use. So when they see, they want to know what is there, then we tell them, okay, you come close. Then you open each door. Each door has a scripture passage, and at the same time it has a statement. Like door number one, you know, says that God cannot change. Then we have a passage in Malachi chapter 3. Oh, door number one says that God cannot lie, in Titus 2:1 or 1:2. Then door number two says God cannot change, Malachi 3:6. Then door number three says God cannot let anyone into heaven unless you're born again. So who take them through door number one? God cannot lie. It's, oh, I see. Then God cannot change. Oh, then number three, God cannot let anyone into heaven unless you're born again. Then we have the opportunity to say, okay, can I ask you a question? If you were to die today, where would you go? And I use that. I use that a lot in my soul winning. If you were to die today, where would you go? And usually they would say, heaven. And I would ask, how do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Then I get all kinds of answers, obviously. And one of the best answers that I get, quote and unquote best answer, is the fact that someone says, I'll go to heaven because I'm a good person. Then we can take the scriptures from there and begin to show them, you know. And so the awesome part of it is when you get to show them what the Bible says concerning their lost state, and they recognize that their good works cannot save them, and you point them to Jesus and they put their faith and trust in Jesus and they get saved. That is awesome. And that has been happening consistently to the glory of God. And it's exciting. It's really exciting.
Mary. We'll give Mary a turn.
You mentioned your wife is from Nigeria.
Yes, Mom.
Is Badagry, is that right?
No, my wife is not from Badagry.
Okay. So how did you come about knowing about Badagry, and what part of Nigeria is she from?
Yeah, my wife is from the northeastern part of Nigeria. And where she's from is just as cold as right now. Yeah, when you go there about this time, it's this cold. So she's from the northeastern part of Nigeria. And I got to know about Badagry, you know, primarily because when I was in Lagos as a pastor, and we were looking for a land for the church that I was pastoring then, we somehow were led to Badagry to get a land. And we got a land in Badagry quite all right, but they never did build in Badagry. And I think right now they've sold the land. It's been a long time. So, but then, aside from that, I haven't lived in Lagos. I know Badagry. And also, whenever in Ghana, we're coming back to Lagos all the time, we always pass through Badagry. And I'm passing through Badagry, it's always that thing, you know, that I really cannot explain. You know, I can just say that I'm being drawn to that place, and I just feel God wanted us there, you know. And coupled with the fact that when I decided to make a trip there to kind of check that place out, I got to realize that aside from like the question that was asked, that receptive, those that I was able to speak to, also there was no Baptist or true Baptist church there. So I think the Lord kind of ignited that fire in our hearts, in my heart especially, you know, concerning that place, you know, that He wants us to go there. I really cannot explain. I just can say it's just deep down in here that God has placed that burden, and that people there need to get to know the gospel, the true gospel message.
Okay. Anyone else? We're going to take maybe one question so we can give David time to preach.
Jackie, go.
David, what, when you're preaching and when the congregation is singing, what kind of language, what language do you preach in and they sing in?
Okay. In Ghana, and Pastor knows, so in Ghana we preach in English, Okay, and we get translator, someone that translates into, for us it's in Chui. And in our church in Ghana, it's more or less like most of the people we have, like the English speaking people. So occasionally sometimes we sing in Chui. That is in the part of Ghana that I'm located, we sing in Chui. That's a language being spoken generally in the Accra area. Generally in Ghana, but then in the Accra area it's more predominant. So, but we don't do that often. We normally sing the hymns in English, you know, sing Bible songs in English, you know, and just once in a while, you know, that we sing in Chui.
Okay, let's... Where's that? Okay.
Test. Okay.
So here in America, most households have access to several copies of the Bible, the King James Bible or whatever Bible. Is it accessible, God's Word, accessible to the people over there?
Yeah, I would say it's a little expensive for people to get, okay, but some have and some don't. But we've been privileged somehow that, you know, God has always provided that we can also share with people, you know, but it's not, I wouldn't really say that everybody has it. It is accessible, quite all right, if you can afford it. Some are cheap, some are not so cheap. Okay, when I say cheap, not really that cheap, but some, you know, depends on the way, you know, the kind of, if it's a letter-bound Bible or, you know, so, but it is accessible as in it's everywhere you can find in the market, if that's what you mean, you can find in the market, but I wouldn't say that everyone can afford it, and I wouldn't say so, but, you know, but it's accessible, it's everywhere, the King James Bible is everywhere, you can find it.
All right, let's stand, just stand up just for a minute before he preaches, because you've been sitting for a little while. And I do want to add to that I know in Ghana that a lot of people, their education is not good, and so as far as reading and comprehension is not good. And so sometimes it's audio Bibles would be a good thing. Would
you
agree?
That's true.
And so that is a challenge for people there in understanding the Bible. So we're going to have Brother David preach to us now, and so you can go ahead and be seated.
Thank you, sir. So how many minutes do I have, sir?
You have 30 minutes.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for your questions. I appreciate all the questions. And if you probably have other questions that you'd like to ask and you don't want to ask publicly, please feel free to ask. And I will try to answer your question to the best of my ability. I will try to do just that. So please feel free. And once again, thank you so much for all your questions. I'd like to share a simple passage of scripture tonight with us. So if you will, please turn your Bibles to the book of Romans. Romans in your Bibles tonight. It's a familiar passage of scripture, and I hope that, pray rather, that the Lord would use this passage and encourage us. The first chapter of the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1 in your Bibles. Romans chapter 1 in your Bibles, and I want to read from verse number 14 to verse number 16. Romans 1 in your Bibles, verse 14 to verse number 16. So if you're there, I'm going to read aloud and you read with me silently, but I'm reading aloud. Romans chapter 1. The Bible says in verse 14, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Let's pray, please. Father, we call upon your name once again tonight. And we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity that you've given to be used of you to share your word. Father, you know our needs and our heart desires tonight. I pray, Lord, that somehow, someway, that you'd use this old lump of clay to pass your message across. Father, encourage and challenge us through your word. Just help us, O God, that we will never miss that which you have for us. Don't allow any form of distraction, Lord, tonight. May we be concentrated on your truth. And Father, may your word indeed make a difference in our hearts and lives tonight. We thank you, Lord, O God, knowing fully well, Lord, it's nothing that you cannot do. Let's walk in our lives and challenge us, O God, and take the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. So I want to talk to us about a simple truth to encourage all of us to get excited about soul winning. I believe very strongly that God saved us for a purpose. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto every good works. God saved us so we can get to work. And one of the things I believe God wants us to do as saved children of God is to get involved actively in soul winning. I believe very strongly that this church is a soul winning church. But I want to just encourage us more. That God would help us and kind of ignite our fire for soul winning and ignite it more so we can be more. Have a look at the passage that we have before us this morning, this evening. We'll find a couple of things that I just want to share as the Lord would allow me to share them. And I'll start from the very first verse that we read, that is verse 14 of chapter 1. And if you will, I want you to look at it again with me. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 14, if you look at it again with me. In verse 14 of Romans 1, the Bible says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. And what this simply means, if you will, if you are saved, if you have been blood washed, if you have been cleansed, if you know for sure indeed that beyond a shadow of a doubt that heaven is going to be your home, if you can say boldly that my name is written in the Lamb Book of Life because I know that the Lord has saved my soul, and God says to you, God says to me, that we are debtors. Amen. That we are debtors. And it's so important for us to see this. I don't know about you, but I don't want to. I don't want to be a debtor. I don't want to owe somebody. If I am owing somebody, which doesn't happen often, I want to pay up. Because if I don't pay up, then I don't feel comfortable. In fact, there was a time that I was owing rent. My house rent. Saved up to a point and wasn't able to get it all finished. And I told my landlord that I'm going to get the money to him by a period of time. And the time I told him even was not up. But I was somewhere, and while I was there doing something, my landlord drove past. And when I saw him, he didn't even see me, but I saw him, I wasn't feeling good. Because I knew that I was owing him rent. And that's history anyway. I don't owe rent anymore. So, amen. I thought you would say amen to that. Are you not happy for me? Good grief. Come on now. All right, so, but I'm saying that, you know, if we are open, then we need to pay up. That's what I'm saying. We need to pay up. You want to pay up. So the scripture tells us concerning the fact that we are debtors. But in this case, it's a little bit different than the explanation that I gave. It is important that we have to identify with the fact that indeed this is what we are. Because this is what the scripture says. I don't know about you, I know about you some. But I hope that like me, you believe the Bible in totality as the Bible is the Word of God. And when the Bible says it, we believe it. What it says, we believe. Amen. Amen. All right. So it's important for us to be able to realize that God says that we are debtors, then we are debtors. But I want to show you something that would help us see this very clearly. Turn with me to 1 Timothy in your Bibles, if you will, please. And I want you to carefully read this passage of Scripture with me. 1 Timothy in your Bibles, and look at the first chapter, chapter 1. And please read with me from verse number 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1 from verse 12. This is the Apostle Paul speaking here. And he says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who had enabled me. Now listen now. For that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And look at verse 13 very carefully, because we all have a past. It says, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and an injurious, but I obtained mercy. Amen. I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Then verse 14 says, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Do you see that? Then verse 15, the Bible says this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Then verse 16 says, how be it, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. This was a situation that the Apostle Paul found himself. And in that situation, you can see there is appreciation and gratitude for what Jesus did for him. And I'm saying that, like I said, every one of us have a past. Today I can say that I give God the glory and I thank him so much that I'm saved and I am eternally secured. But prior to 1992, it was a different situation entirely. But the Lord saved my soul. He took me out of nothing and made me something in Christ. Now, if this is what I have, just as the Apostle Paul is saying, don't you think that I should be concerned about those that do not have what I have? Amen. That's what he's saying here. I mean, that's all I sum up from what I see here. So, basically, our gratitude for what the Lord has done for us would make us see how indebted we are. And if we are indebted, then we have to do something about it. I would say tonight, just like that we are indebted, it tells us here, you know, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, for whom I'm chief. I would say that he owes Christ a debt. And we also owe our Lord Jesus a debt. We owe him to do something. We cannot take what he has done for us for granted. That's what I'm trying to say. We can't take it for granted. We can't go to sleep because I'm saved. There are many times it happens, right? You know, I'm eternally secure, so good. I'm not going to hell anymore, so good. But we need to stop and see what went into making us what we are today. And there are people that do not have it. If they don't have it, then they need to know. So I say to us tonight that we owe Christ a debt. So let's look at a passage that clarifies that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians in our Bibles. And that's what I believe that you've been walking on in a Sunday school, and probably have already read this passage before, since we didn't look at it today. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I want you to look with me at verse 14 and verse 15. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. In verse 14, the Bible says, "For the love of Christ constrained us, because we thus judged that if one died for all, then we're all what? Dead." Then verse 15 says, "And that he died for all," now listen now, "that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which is the Lord Jesus Christ, which died for them and rose again." So we owe him to live for him. That's what the Bible is saying. We owe him to live for him. And what should motivate that is what we'll find in verse 14. The Bible says, "For the love of Christ constrained us." Because of the love that he has for us, he was willing to give himself. The love that he has for us made him endure the cross and died a cruel death so we can be redeemed. We all enjoy quotes in John 3:16, right? Amen. "For God so." Think about that two letter word. So love the world. I love my wife. In fact, I sure love my wife. There's hardly anything that I cannot do for my wife. I love my children. I still love my children. But I don't think that I can love them at all like Jesus loved me and still loves me. By the way, like he loved you and still loves you. And that love shall propel you, shall propel me. That love shall cause you, shall cause me to realize that we owe him to live for him. Amen. We owe him to be all that he would have us to be. Because he didn't look back when he gave all for us. But we are always holding back, not so. We hear all the time, I give my all to God, I surrender my all to him. But really, is that what we're doing? So I'm saying tonight to us that we are debtors. And I'm saying to us that we owe a debt to Christ. And I'm also saying to us this evening that we owe a debt to others. I believe that's the context of Romans 1. Because it tells us some things that we're going to look at in a minute. In Romans 1:14, the Bible says we are debtors both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, the wise, and to the unwise. So in a nutshell, I can say that we are debtors to give the gospel message to whosoever we come in contact with, because everybody deserves to hear the gospel message at least once. At least once. But when we stop and think about, you know, how much what the Lord did for us, just like Paul told us, describing who he was and basically the life that he led, and the Lord sought him out, found him, saved him, then similarly to us, then we should be able to say, yes, of a truth, the Bible says we are debtors, then we owe people to tell them what we were told when we got the gospel message. Amen. I sat in a church like this, and Sunday evening like this, Not like this though, but a church, a true church like this one, when I heard the gospel message for the first time. And I'm forever thankful, because I knew that night that something happened to me. I knew that night that Jesus came into my heart in the person of the Holy Spirit, and I knew that I was saved. And I knew also subsequently that I became immediately a debtor. That what I've received, I needed to give. That I shouldn't hoard it, I shouldn't keep it to myself, I needed to give. So the first thing we see there in this passage is that we are debtors. We are debtors. Then the second thing we're seeing in verse 15, look with me at first at Romans 1:15, please. Romans chapter 1 and verse 15. It says, so as much as in me is, it's a key word there, I am ready. I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. So I am a debtor. The number two, I am ready. So I'm asking us tonight, are we ready? Amen. Are we ready? Young people, are you ready? Young adults here, are you ready? Older adults here, are you ready tonight? Paul says, I am ready. I am a debtor, so I am ready. I am ready. And I can say tonight to us that, you know, we fail to be ready because usually we are unprepared. Can I also add this evening that there's no really a perfect timing. We must make use of every God-given opportunity. We must. And if God opens doors, and we must make use of it. But if we are not ready, we can make use of those opportunities. We must be spiritually ready. And ready in this context refers to a readiness to act. Nothing between you and the deed, except the opportunity to do something. There's a readiness to act. And if we don't act, the opportunity slips by us. I want you to look with me at Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, please, tonight. This one passage of scripture I love so much. Acts chapter 8 in your Bibles. And I want you to look at verse 26, just to illustrate the readiness that I'm talking about. We must be spiritually ready. Acts chapter 8 and look at verse 26. The Bible says, an angel of the Lord said unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is Bezek. The verse 27 says, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all our treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. This is a prime example of someone that is spiritually ready. If you look at the concept of Acts chapter 8, you will see that Philip was having a wonderful time preaching in Samaria. And people were getting saved, and so much was happening there. But then God says, look, there is somebody that needs to get the gospel. There is an African that is coming from Jerusalem that needs to get the gospel, and I want you to go. And you look at the scripture, if you follow the context of this passage, you would see how ready Philip was. Philip was ready to go. He was having a great time in Samaria, but when God says go, he was ready to change and move, because as a soul needed to hear the gospel message. And by the way, that actually underscores the value of just one soul. That he has to leave a revival in Samaria and go. Now get this tonight, that Philip could have said a lot of things. Philip could have given excuses like we often give. He could have said that God, so much is going on here right now, but God, why don't you allow me stay? But God, why don't you let me do this or do that? But he didn't say that. When God says go, he was spiritually ready to take the message to the Ethiopian so that message can get to Africa at that time. He did just that. And I'm saying to us that we need to be spiritually ready. Paul says, I'm ready to preach the gospel. We need to be spiritually ready. And we must also be consciously ready. By consciously ready, I'm saying we have that readiness of mind. And also we must be mentally ready. Remember, we are debtors. And as debtors, we ought to be ready like we see it here tonight. We need to be spiritually ready and we need to be consciously ready. We need to be mentally ready. Look with me at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 in your Bibles. I want you to mark out those passages of scripture. Very important. 1 Peter chapter 3 in your Bibles and look with me at verse number 15. In verse 15 here, the scripture says this. It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready how often? Always. Always. To give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Not with arrogance, not with pride, but with meekness and fear. So mentally we are ready. And you need to understand that, you know, opportunities would come at any time. God opens doors at any time. In fact, we are supposed to make the opportunity. Wherever there are people, wherever we have people around, we are supposed to look for ways to give the gospel message. But here, we would find people that would even ask us, how do you know that you are saved? What do we do? Are we going to be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in us? Or do we ignore? Or do we say, okay, let me call Brother Justin or Brother Tim? And that's good if you can. It's still good enough. But what if Brother Justin or Brother Tim are not in that place at that point in time? What do? So you say, maybe like Agrippa and Paul, you know, go that way at this time. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. But the scripture, the word of God says we should be ready. And you see the very first part says we need to sanctify the Lord Jesus in our hearts, right? So we ought to be set apart to him. Set apart. Just like we talked about this morning, some about the consecration. Everything about our hearts and our lives needs to be given to Jesus because we belong to him. We heard this morning that we were bought in with a price. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We were bought with a price. We do not belong to ourselves. We belong to Jesus. And if we belong to him, then every day, in every awakening day, that is in our consciousness. I am a child of God. And as a child of God, I have a responsibility. And that responsibility is that I have to make known my Savior to the world. I have to tell anyone that I can, that come my way. I have to give them the truth or the knowledge of truth that I have. That's what he's saying. We must be mentally ready, ready to preach and ready to preach the gospel. And like it says, I'm ready to preach also to those that are in Rome. So it's not restricted to just a particular person or a particular place. So we cannot be selective. Do you know sometimes it's so easy to want to preach to someone that you're comfortable with? But there are some people that we kind of like, we don't even want to go to. Because we feel that they are like the untouchables. But it's interesting for us to realize that, you know, the heart of the kings are in the hands of God. So God has every heart in His hands. So God can use us. So we don't want to say because you're like this, because you're like that, they want to be selective. In fact, I'll tell you a little story quickly. I know my time is up, but I'll tell you this story. Maybe that would encourage us tonight. Many years ago, as an assistant pastor, usually my pastor always, he wasn't able to stay in the country, so he's always out of the country. Every other 3-4 months, he's out of the country. So when he's out, then I'm taking care of the church as the assistant pastor. And there was this time, we had this family in the church then. They are from this country. It's around India. It's called Sri Lanka. That's where they are from. And they're somewhat affluent family. And I was a nobody, just being a somebody because of Christ. So one Sunday afternoon, after church, they came to me. And they told me that they want me to go with them to meet another family friend. Now, if you know Lagos very well, there are different sections of Lagos. Now, we have what is called the mainland. We have what is called the island in Lagos. Now, the island are the place where the wealthy resides. So those in the mainland may be a little bit affluent, and those in the suburbs are just, you know, just there. So they told me they wanted me to go with them to see one of their friends. I didn't know what they wanted, but they just said we needed to go. So while we were going, then they told me that they wanted me to go and to witness their family. They didn't want me. They just told me. I wasn't prepared. And we went. The good thing that day was that I had on my best suit or jacket. Which was a good thing because that was the only jacket I had that day, that time. And I wore it at church. So, at least that in itself made me a little bit presentable in a way. So we went. When we got to the house, it was the first time in my entire life because it was in a very wealthy area of the island. It was the first time in my entire life that I saw a gate that nobody touched it. It opened by itself. And I see pastors get into his house, just punch a button and the thing goes up. It was just something like that. The first time in my life. So that in itself got me really, really scared. I was scared. Because I was thinking, how will they receive me? These were very wealthy people. I was from a poor background. Even if I was, quote unquote, assisting my pastor. But the family that took me believed in me that you can share the gospel. I love soul winning. I mean, soul winning is my life. And they felt, you can. So they took me there. I was shaking. I was literally shaking because I got into the house and it was like nothing that I've seen in my entire life. Very beautiful house. And we were able to go into the house and we met the family. The mom, the dad, I think 3 children. I was shaken. I was not ready. They introduced me to them. And I was like, those people just brought me here to disgrace me. Because evidently, what am I going to say? But you know something, immediately I started thinking that the Lord started telling me something. Why are you saying you cannot? I'm in you, I can use you. And I just had to pray, and I had to just, they didn't know, but I was asking the Lord, Lord, I just need your help. I never even felt that if I get to talk to them, they would respond. Because the class was totally far apart. They were high up there, I was down here. You know, but you know what I had? I had the gospel message that they didn't have. I had it. And the Lord says, I have to tell. And just to cut a long story short, even when I asked them, you know, the normal question I used to ask, after I would have been introduced, I opened my Bible and I said, can I ask you all a question? They said, go ahead. And I said, I just want you one after the other. If you would let me know, I would really appreciate it. If you were to die right now, do you know for sure where you would go to? I never expected them to respond. But you know, the Lord was doing this work. At a point in time that he gave me that peace, that I was ready, and the Lord was also walking in their hearts. And they responded that they didn't know. And I asked them, would you like me to show you from the Bible? And one after the other, they said yes. And once again, to cut a long story short, by the time we were through with the Romans map to heaven, that's what I used. By the time we were through with that, the five of them put their faith and trust in Jesus. And they were so excited. The class was different. But I'm telling us that God wants us to be ready. And he doesn't want us to be selective. Even also to those that are in Rome. A desert to the Greeks and to the barbarians. They're still ready to preach the gospel. Also to those that are in Rome. And the reason is because people need the Lord. In 2 Timothy 4:2. Normally we say this is meant for preachers because Paul was talking to Timothy, and Timothy was a preacher but of Paul. But then it applies to each and every one of us. And in 2 Timothy 4:2, Paul told Timothy, it says, be instant in season and out of season, preach the word, preach the word, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. And what that means is that we should preach when it is convenient. And when it is not convenient. And the reason is because the souls of people are at stake. If we give excuse not to preach, then we are sending somebody to eternity in hell. Is that what we want? That's a question. You see, Paul says here, first of all, that I'm a debtor. Number two, he says that I'm ready. And number three, in verse 16, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I love this. It says, because it's the power of God unto salvation. I might be a nobody, but I have the word. And have the power of God. Amen. And God can use that to change the lives of people. Amen. But it says that I should not be ashamed of the gospel. You should not be ashamed of the gospel. We should not be ashamed of the gospel. We shouldn't be. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 15:34, the word of God tells us, and it says, awake to righteousness and sin not. It says, for some have not the knowledge of truth. And the sad part is this, so that I speak this to your shame. It is to our shame when people die and go to hell. Because we have the gospel, we have the answer to their questions. It says, awake to righteousness. It says, it's high time we wake out of our sleep. Awake to righteousness. And sin not. If we do not awake to righteousness, it is a sin. Negligence of preaching the gospel message is a sin. It says, awake to righteousness and sin not. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 15:34. And as I speak to you, there are a bunch all around us that do not have the knowledge of truth. So it's to our shame. We must believe in the power of the gospel. Believe. We must. It is not my power. It's not. It's not. I might have the gift of the gab, which I don't have anyway, and I can talk plenty. I can talk plenty, but that doesn't change anything in anybody's life. Some of us are very good. You can discuss, you can hold somebody down and make the person love you for the way you talk. We're good at that. But what difference does it make if it doesn't change that person's eternal destiny? What difference? Sometimes we have opportunity to engage in conversations that would be a blessing, but what do we do? We'd rather enjoy talking about sports, right? I don't know what else you enjoy talking about here in America, in Nigeria, football, soccer. People love talking about soccer. Love talking about events, politics and all. But why don't we talk about the gospel? Why don't we share the gospel message with those that are seeking? Tomorrow, some of us will be in school, some of us will be at work, some of us will be in different places. Believe the church has gospel tracts. Even if you can't reach somebody on one-on-one, you can give a gospel tract. Thank God for social media. You can post salvation messages. You can send salvation messages to friends and messengers and on your timeline, however. But God wants us to know that we are debtors. He wants us to know that we should be ready. And He wants us not to be ashamed. Let's go all out and get excited about soul winning. Let's take the true gospel message. And by the way, the true gospel message is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1 to 4. You can read that. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture and was raised again the third day. He died to pay for our sins. He rose up for our justification. God wants us to be excited. The lot of things that we are excited about, but if it's not eternally beneficial to someone, then it doesn't add up. Because someday you and I would all stand before the Lord. The Bible talks about the judgment seat of Christ. We'll face that. What is it going to be like? Are we going to be happy? Are we going to be sad? I encourage us tonight to do what we can with the Lord's help today. Because the night cometh when no man can walk. Now is the time to walk. Let's rise our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Pastor.